You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not going to take it anymore.
I'd like to help you, Doctor, if I really would, but the din in my head, it's too much and it's no good. I'm standing in a window tunnel, shouting through the roar, and I'd like to give the information, asking for more. What blood makes noise? Is it ringing in my ear? Blood makes noise. And I can't really hear you in the thickening of fear.
Common sense is not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
Welcome to hour number two, and you are indeed listening to the Common Sense Show. I'm your host, Dave Hodges, and we come to you live every Sunday evening at this time from 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. on the East Coast and 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. on the West Coast. And you can fill in the gaps in the middle. And we like to think of ourselves as the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. And I hope we're doing a lot of freeing tonight, because a lot of people need to get educated on this topic that we're discussing with our two guests, Dr. Tom Horn and Steve Quayle. We're brought to you by a couple of really great sponsors. And I'm telling you, folks, the day of reckoning is coming. This is not doom and gloom. We just can't absorb the debt and the collision course that so many different social and political factors are on. It's going to come to roost. Your just-in-time deliveries are going to stop. And you saw in Houston, it took less than a day to clean out the stores when the hurricane hit. And I'll tell you, folks, if you don't prepare, you're going to be sorry. You need food, water, guns, gold, ammo, and medicine. And by medicine, I mean natural health care. And let's go right to Dr. Ted Brower and Health Masters. You've heard me say it many times. I don't go to the doctor first. I go to Dr. Ted. He's helped me with a ruptured disc in my back, a torn MCL in my knee. He's helped Doug Hagman with blood sugar issues. On and on it goes. This is the best. Go to healthmasters.com, and you can take 5% off. That's for our listening audience, by using the coupon code 5COMMON. That's healthmasters.com. We're also brought to you by Numana. In this day and age, and as cheaply as the food is priced, there really is very little excuse for anyone of any means not to have storable food. You need to take the steps to be responsible enough to protect you and your family. We're at that time. We have seen crises at work, and you know how fast the food will disappear. And I offer the very best in storable food through Numana. Go to numana.com/Hodges. That's numana.com/Hodges. And the coupon code is a 10% discount for our listeners. Hodges10 is the coupon code. That's numana.com/Hodges. And with almost any crisis, there's an end and then a new beginning. And if you want to come out the other side, you're going to be one of two people. You're going to be a person holding the bag, but I would prefer for you to be someone who has something in your bag. And that something in your bag should be precious metals. Let Steve Quayle from Renaissance Precious Metals convert your excess cash, and I mean anyone that keeps more than 3 months of money in the bank, you're asking for disaster. Let Steve convert it for you, your soon-to-be worthless cash, into precious metals, where when we come out the other side, you'll hold something of value. Great hedge against inflation. You know all the arguments. Give Steve a call tomorrow at 406-586-4842. And finally, both of these gentlemen are headliners in the conference coming up in Branson in September. Yours truly will be there covering it. I'm so proud to be there. Please come and meet me and see these great people who are trying to make a difference in saving the human race. And I mean that literally and figuratively, saving the human race. I have a banner ad on the right-hand column of the commonsenseshow.com, as does Steve at stevequayle.com. Doesn't matter where you go. Click it on. Sign up. I believe they're over halfway filled up. It's going to sell out quickly. Please don't wait, because I do want to meet all of you there. I can't wait to meet so many of you in person that I correspond with on a regular basis. Well, as I said, our guests are Steve Quayle and Dr. Tom Horn. And Steve, let me throw the ball back into your court, and I'm going to tell you a quick anecdote, and I'll let you take this where you want. Vance Davis, formerly of the NSA, is a good friend of mine and has been since 1993, a 25-year friendship. And Vance now lives in Wichita. Whenever he gets to Phoenix, which is quite often, we get together. But the first time I met Vance and the first time he opened up to me, he told me about his training. He said in his NSA training, they were told there's been a war going on out in the cosmos. And this is 1993, mind you, before the word transhumanism came into vogue. And he said the goal is the human soul. This is a war between good and evil. And he said, but the bad guys, meaning the demons, Satan's warriors, they can't unlock the secret of the soul, so they're seeking to transform mankind. That was NSA training, 1993. Steve, what's your reaction to that?
Well, wow, and I think that people ought to notice that that's almost 25 years ago, a quarter of a century. The good and bad, the evil, if you will, the basis of Satan's lie to Eve in the garden that ye shall be as gods, that is the overruling prime directive, Dave, of the entire transhumanism movement. The idea of AI is to try, and the devil tries to do end runs around God, but he forgets that God knows all of the rules and obviously spoke the worlds into existence, while Satan has to manipulate that which God spoke into existence. So, the point being is that the whole idea, and by the way, one of the dying CIA station chiefs gave a friend of mine, I'll just say his first name is Will, a deathbed confession. That deathbed confession is in my book, Xenogenesis. I didn't write it. This was a deathbed confession talking about how the intelligence agencies are trying to open those gates to destroy the barriers that God created, to basically allow total hell to break loose on Earth and to totally destroy mankind. Let's face it, you guys, and this is now I'm going into overdrive, Tom. The basis of all the billionaires are the elitists that are driving the, if you will, the engine of destruction of the human race. Even guys like, obviously, Elon Musk and those people who are, I would say, honest, Hugo de Garas, talking about what this is at stake. Dave, you and I have done talk radio. Tom's done talk radio. In the early phases, we were quoting all these guys that want to basically terminate the human race. And I'll give everyone my next book that will be available, I think, at Branson. It's the, you know, I won't tell you the whole title, but I'll tell you the subtitle, The End of the Human Race. And I don't think people get it. And I'm going to ask Tom to address how in anybody's thinking that humans could embrace that Christians could embrace transhumanism and, if you will, the denial of faith, the denial of redemption, the attempt to forestall the return of Jesus. And the idea is just this. It is a war in the cosmos. And I'd encourage everybody to go on my website, stevequayle.com. I just put up a link directly to my book, Xenogenesis. Chapter 13 in that book is the most important thing. It's that revelation moment when someone who go on to get right with Jesus before he went into eternity, he was on his deathbed, he died shortly after this. The man who gave it to me, his family was listening to this broadcast, not this one with you, but on the same subject matter a couple years ago, and they sent the guy that delivered to me a thank you and saying, this honors my father because he wanted to make right that which he was involved in to destroy humanity. And that's a true story. So, Tom, explain how Christians are embracing transhumanism and that it is like the ultimate. In my opinion, it's treason, it's treachery, it's a denial of faith. Of course, I could be kinder and gentler in claiming they're clueless, but tell and share where that thought process is going to lead, if you would.
Well, beyond anything else, I believe that, first of all, we're witnessing the midnight of Christianity in America as it has been known from the Great Generation until now. What is out there as Christianity? My grandfather would just roll over in his grave to a lot of it. He just wouldn't even know what he's looking at. I think we're seeing the dawn of a new dominant replacement world view. Look at the growth of the Burning Man festival. Now you've got 60, 70, 80,000, whatever it is, people that are gathering. And notice, by the way, this year, the theme around the Burning Man Pagan Festival is I, Robot. And while they're doing that over Labor Day weekend, Steve, we're going to be having our conference. They're approaching it from the demonic side, in my opinion. And we're going to be approaching these questions from a very conservative, traditional Christian worldview. But bottom line is, look, it's a transhumanist global religious concept that fits well in this generation. That's the reason you have a Christian transhumanist movement. There's really two reasons around it. And I think both of these astonishing statements are provable. The first reason is, and it's actually the lesser of the two, but that is that transhumanism offers a more direct intercourse with supernaturalism than what most of these dead traditional churches do. And that is something this generation wants. Look at everything that is popular, every movie that's coming out. It's all X-Men and whatever. It's all enhanced humans that have superpowers. And look on television at every major popular program that is playing right now, whether it's Netflix or anything else. It all has to do with supernaturalism, interacting with, having supernatural powers. It's what this generation wants. And then, of course, the other thing is that most of these transhumanist Christians really aren't Christians in the first place. They want to attain immortality, but they don't like the methodology that Jesus brought to get it. And they think they've got a better plan. They've completely bought in, if you will, to the lie of the serpent in the Garden of Eden, that there is a way you can become a god, but this Yahweh and his son are not the way to get there. But I want to get back on something we did before the break. I'll try really hard here to be succinct with my language, because I know I have a terrible habit. Dave, I'm an old preacher. I pastored for 25 years, and so I have this habit of getting on a pig trail and providing more information than what is necessary.
Well, Tom, before you go down that road, let me interject something, because I want to take advantage of your background. And you had talked about Christianity. Steve broached this topic, and the church and transhumanism. My wife and I attended a service last night here in Phoenix, and the pastor, actually was the assistant pastor giving the sermon, got up, and on the video projection screen, he showed these books. He said, look what people are occupied with today. And it had to do with, you know, witchcraft, making your life through witchcraft, the magic cabal, these kinds of things. He kind of opened the door to approach him. Let me ask you for some advice on air. If someone else is in the same position I am and they've had a similar experience in church, how should they approach their pastor to make it more of an important topic to them? What would you recommend? Where should we start?
Well, I'll tell you something. I hadn't thought about this, but I'm going to do this for your listeners only. And I'm going to give it to them for free. I wrote a whole book on the subject. It's called Forbidden Gate. It was the first book that was widely distributed on the subject matter of transhumanism, not counting Steve Quayle's books. But that book is only half talking about transhumanism. It actually starts with Kurzweil's Age of Spiritual Machines and all that, because I wrote the book about 7-8 years ago. But the second half of the entire book deals with supernaturalism. Is there an element here that can open a door to demonic activity? And that book did so well that I actually wound up writing, I think it's 270-page-long teacher's guide that churches can use. And a lot of churches have used the book Forbidden Gates as a in-class curricula, but the teacher gets the teacher's guide, which then frames this over a 13-week church class. So here's what I want to tell your audience to do. If you go to skywatchtv.com, you'll also see in the right-hand corner the link there to the conference in Branson. So you can also click from our website. You can go from Dave Hodges' website, the Common Sense Show, and you can go from Steve Squall's website. So you're going to find the place to go and register. And I'm like Dave, I want you to come. I want to meet you. Steve Quayle will be there. We will all be there, and we will take time to make sure that we get to meet you, shake your hand, talk about your questions. But if people will go to skywatchtv.com tonight, there's a couple of things there I want to do. We have a series of programs right now that are called The Handmaiden's Conspiracy. So it's a new book that's come out. It's really basically just talking about how women can also be involved as partners in preaching the gospel. So if you go there and you click on that ad, you can buy that book, The Handmaiden's Conspiracy. But what's more important to this show is that when you do, I'm going to give you several things. And I know that my warehouse tomorrow morning is just going to be griped at me. They're going to be mad. They hate it when I do this because I make this stuff up and then they got to deal with it. But I'm going to give you a brand new Bible that we have published. But this Bible is unlike anything you've ever seen before. It's a deluxe simulated leather red letter edition, the 1700s version, common King James version of the Bible. It's all that. But this book also has 18 of the apocryphal books published in the back of this Bible. These are the books that Peter, Jude, other disciples and apostles both read and quoted from when it came to this ancient story about the Watchers, the Book of Enoch, the Book of Jubilees, the Book of Jasher, and all these other texts that were commonly used by the disciples of Christ. Later on, because they weren't considered to be canon, they were considered apocryphal or pseudepigraphal. Little by little, they stopped even publishing them in the Bible. But there was a time in the early church when all of the followers, that's why when you go to the Dead Sea Scrolls, the Qumran text, you find copies of the fragments of the Book of Enoch and so on. But that's where the story came from. Those are the oldest texts that actually tell the story of the Watchers who came down and modified humanity. So I'm going to give you this Bible. This Bible is going to sell for anywhere from $80 to $125. There's nothing else like it in the world. It's the most collectible thing that you could get your hands on right now. And if you go there, click on that ad for The Handmaiden's Conspiracy, I'm going to give you that Bible free. There's some other books there we're going to give you free, but two other things because you're listening to Dave Hodges. I'm going to tell my warehouse to also give you free the two-time Telly Award-winning documentary, Inhuman, which goes into all of what we're talking about tonight. And I'm also going to tell them to give you the book, Forbidden Gates, and the teacher's guide that will show you how to put this into 13 weeks in any kind of home Bible study, church, whatever, that will give you all of the pertinent things that you need to be discussing right now and be aware of in terms of what is happening in the technology. Now, if I can, very quickly, Dave, I know we've only got 40 minutes left, because I've said two or three times tonight this question, will genetically engineered, modified humans, will they have a soul? And secondly, is there an esoteric or supernatural element to this? Can I just say something about that very quickly?
Yeah, absolutely. Please do.
So, it isn't just Tom Horn. You have the secular, some of the world's leading transhumanists. For instance, the director of the Future of Humanity Institute, a professor of philosophy at Oxford University, Nick Bostrom. He's one of the most well-known transhumanists in the world. He is a leading advocate of transhumanism who sees other dimensions, other modes of perception being opened via human enhancement. Either you, Dave, or Steve, a few moments ago, raised this question. I haven't been to Drudge tonight, but it's evidently over there where more and more professors are using LSD, other mind-expanding psychotropic drugs, in order to expand their consciousness to a higher level of whatever. Well, Nick Bostrom from Oxford University envisions remanufacturing humans so that we don't have to use mind-expanding drugs. We can permanently alter the chemistry of our brains through merging ourselves with animals, plants, synthetic life forms, and so on, through, you know, recombinant DNA, CRISPR-type genetic engineering, transgenic sciences. And if you go to his website and you read, well, he earned his PhD writing a thesis called Transhumanist Values. Go there and read it, because you'll see when describing the benefits of combining man with beast genetic material, he cites how things like this, how animals have sonar, magnetic orientation, sensors for electricity and vibration, other extra-human abilities. And he uses those to describe how the range of sensory modality for normal humans, as opposed to transhumans, could be greatly enhanced. We wouldn't be limited, in other words, to those things that are natural to humans. We could add what comes from animal, DNA strands. He talks there how there's no fundamental block to adding, for instance, the capacity to see an infrared radiation or to perceive radio signals, perhaps to add some kind of telepathic sense by augmenting our brains. Well, here's the bottom line to this. Bostrom is correct in that the animal kingdom does have levels of perception beyond human. Some animals can sense earthquakes. They can smell tumors. We've shown this over and over again. Others, like dogs, can hear sounds as high as 40,000 hertz. Dolphins even higher, something like 80,000 hertz. It's also known that at least some animals see wavelengths beyond normal human capacity. And that's where things start getting kind of interesting, and I think supernatural. I'll tell you why I say that in a moment. But it's something that Bostrom may understand and even anticipate, and that is according to the biblical story of Balaam's donkey, certain animals can see into what we call the spirit world. Do you remember that story? Dumb Balaam's making his predictions against Israel, and now he's fleeing. He's on a donkey, and he's beating the donkey with a whip, and the donkey keeps turning off of the path, and he doesn't know why. Well, as you read the story, you realize it's because the donkey can see something Balaam can't see. He can see a giant angel standing in the middle of the road with a sword drawn, going to take Balaam's dumb head off for prophesying against Israel. So animals can see, and there have been some very interesting studies on this. And again, I need to not get off track here, but some studies where, like dogs, sometimes seem to be reacting to something that we can't see with our normal eyes. The little dog runs under the bed and it's barking at something, and you get like the hair standing up on the back of your neck, but it's not something we can see, but they do sometimes seem to be reacting to something. So, but what Bostrom is saying is, instead of just using mind-expanding psychotropic drugs, or what the New Testament in the book of Revelation, chapter 9, might call pharmakia, instead of that, we could permanently alter the brain's chemistry and put ourselves into contact with other entities that might be there, supernatural gateways that exist within the mind that could be achieved through altered mental states, so that we don't have to use DMT or absinthe or some of these other kind of chemicals. So here's the deeper question. Do transhumanists or do military scientists that are spending so much money now on the brain initiative starting under Obama, do they imagine kind of a permanent pathway, a connection with the beyond, the ability to see into other dimensions of the spirit world as a result of brain enhancement through integrating men with beasts? The whole storyline in the book of Revelation is very interesting in chapter 9, where it talks about, an angel comes down with the key to the bottomless pit, opens up the bottomless pit, and all these insectoids start coming up out of the earth and torturing humanity. But read that chapter through to the end. It says, and yet, and this is talking about those being tortured, it says, and yet they repented not for their, the Greek word pharmakia, for their effort to open a doorway into supernaturalism using these mind-expanding drugs. So mankind is evidently intentionally trying to open a door to another dimension when this angel comes down and says, you asked for it, you got it, here they are, right? and yet they repented not of their intentional efforts. So, but this is happening in universities. I apologize here. I know I got to go quickly. The Arizona State University Templeton Foundation, they're funding a long series of mostly pro-transhumanist lectures over there called Facing the Challenges of Transhumanism, Religion, Science, and Technology, where they, too, some of the instructors there, are talking about radical alteration of Homo sapiens that could open doors to unseen intelligence. They've been talking about this. In fact, you might recall a few years ago, they actually, Arizona State University, launched a study to explore the discovery. It was called the Sophia Project. Do you remember this, Dave? Do you remember this,
yes,
Steve?
Yes, I do. Yeah, I do.
Yes.
Yeah, and the whole point about it, you can cue it and still read the. They've taken it down since then because Steve and I went on and did a bunch of programs, and so they took it down. But the Sophia Project, the whole point about it was to explore the discovery and communication with entities, and then they even went into describing what entities they were trying to put themselves into contact with. It's Greek goddesses, deceased people, spirit guides, otherworldly entities, extraterrestrials, a universal intelligence, something that others maybe call God. So there is this spiritual side. And imagine what this could mean then if government laboratories, working with unlimited budgets, SAPOC budgets, beyond congressional review, are even now decoding the gene functions, the DNA coding that God forbade, that the watchers crossed over and led to the judgment of God, that can lead animals to have what? Preternatural capabilities of sense, smell, sight, snakes that can see into the, you know, the ultraviolet array. When I came down off of Mount Graham, up there where the Lucifer device is being used, that's what it uses. It uses infrared, like serpents have. And that infrared technology in the Lucifer device on Mount Graham, you can go to Google and type in infrared UFO and see side-by-side illustrations of deep space imaging that is happening with non-infrared tech and the Mount Graham Lucifer device. And on the one not using infrared tech, you don't see anything, just deep space, bunch of stars. Go to the other one, and it looks like a literal armada of UFOs flying around in deep space that can only be detected with infrared technology, like serpents have. And DARPA has already publicly written how they want to try to give super soldiers this type of infrared-type technology. So there does seem to be a purpose that is operating behind the screens that has in its mind something that would modify at least entire populations of soldiers, genetically engineered Nephilim agents, if you want to use that kind of language, but humans who could hypothetically see into and maybe interact with invisible forces that the Bible would describe as demons or fallen angels.
No, I was going to say it's the gates of hell. It's the gates of hell, Tom.
Yes. Hey, Dave, let me tell you something. I'll try and find it and put it up. But I was contacted by somebody who has dealt with a scientist out of the United States that literally you would declare is a takeoff on Rowdy Roddy Piper's They Live movie. And what he's been able to do, Tom, is utilize the laws of optics and some of his proprietary stuff to literally see into the spirit world. I was told 10 years ago by a multi-star general, active duty, ultra black, that means they don't even exist officially, that they were able to basically put night vision and thermal imagers in a very thin, if you will, contact lens. So they've already done that. The idea is to, though, put it in your DNA. Ultimately, I want to make this clear. People talk about D-wave computers. They talk about quantum computers. They talk about the next phases. The ultimate computer will be your DNA. The ultimate transhumanist attenuation will be your DNA. The latent power of the soul. In other words, Adam was pretty smart to name all of the animals. It's almost like God in his mercy close the certain parts of the brain and the sensory, let's say, skills and abilities of fallen humanity so that they wouldn't be sidetracked by all the multiple dimensions. I want to even go one step further, Tom. As I was praying about today and what you and I would be talking about, even Balaam's donkey, and this is confirmation to me, I felt like people need to understand something. What they're doing, human brainwaves, they've already done with animal brainwaves, and so pretty soon you'll be able to communicate with your pet, and your pet will be able to communicate with you because they'll be understanding the words. What is it, the average dog, Tom, 500 words? Some of them are in the thousands. So I want people to understand something. Now, that sounds cool. I love my dog. You know, my dog's a Labradoodle. His name is Cyrus, and I'm convinced he can spell, okay? I truly am convinced he can spell. But the point is that we're coming to this fissure because, again, observation, we're limited in observation. The conclusions we draw are based on our observations. But when you get into the multidimensional reality of even going into that realm where the Bible says, I have not seen nor ear heard nor entered in the heart of man at any time, those things that God has prepared for those who love him, I think the thing that people are misunderstanding and not getting, we're talking about a preternatural, P-R-E-T-A, natural, supernatural, beyond a human experience, realm of existence or existences that now are being opened. And again, I tell people this. You know, I watched this dumb thing on Drudge or something about the Vatican needs exorcists. I said, great, 7,000 sons of Sceva. The sons of Sceva tried to cast out demons in Jesus' name without knowing who Jesus was. So the point is that here's the thing, and again, I'll say this, Tom, and thank you for it, but all the gates are open. And what they admit to you guys publicly is far from what exists privately. For instance, I'll tell you this. I think it was in June we sent a team down to the jungles in New Guinea. It wasn't Tim Alberino. It was a couple other guys, a filmmaker and a former minister, pastor, missionary, to some of the wildest tribes in the world that are still inhabiting the highlands in New Guinea and also the islands of the Solomon Islands. And interestingly enough, Tom, there's a story amongst the natives about deep underground military bases and an escapee who talked about the experiments that were going on in combining human and animal DNA. And what was interesting, one of the people that broke free of it was a nun. The thing is, you'd say, well, she's just crazy, she got taken, abducted, whatever, until you find out that all of the natives are terrified. And then here's where it gets interesting, Dave. Here's where it gets really interesting, Tom. This area on the coast in New Guinea, obviously the highlands, but they're looking towards the ocean, the people are terrified of the lights that come and go into the water. So, you know, obviously the island of Dr. Moreau, which I'm dealing with in my next film, the point that I'm trying to bring out to everybody, and I don't want to get sidetracked, is that, Tom, what you're saying about Balaam's donkey came into my heart today on the whole thing of animals. But what we know exists versus what really exists, and I'm talking about transgenic species that are straight out of the myths and pages of mythology and tradition and legends, legendary beasts, that many of those things exist already. So when people ask me this, well, you guys are just trying to scare us. My word to you is simply this. Go read Isaiah 54, 15 through 17. And the 17th verse is the one that's really famous. There's no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Jesus said he gives us power to tread on serpents and scorpions. Notice that. Notice even the beasts that come out of the bottomless pit. I have on my alert section, Dave, I don't know if you've ever seen it or Tom, but eyewitnesses who were in Ecuador that saw the very creatures that are in the bottomless pit. And I think what I'll do is post it on my website tomorrow for people that can see it. But a woman and her child, her son, not a little baby, but her son, basically were watching and in the distance, and this thing flew right up to them, exactly described in the book of Revelation. So what's interesting to me is that you're now seeing people having supernatural encounters, events, and you even look at the UFO encounters. Now, what does all this have to do with transhumanism? Simply this. All the barriers that God put in place, in my opinion, are open now. They're down. Everything that God said was good, and by the way, in Genesis, the first chapter, and God said it was good. There are seven, and God saw that it was good. So it's interesting to me the number of perfection, seven, in all that God created. Therefore, the enemy who is beyond redemption, beyond reason, beyond salvation, I'm talking about Lucifer who became Satan. You look at Isaiah, what is it, 14, you see his I will be like the Most High God. I will ascend in the mountain of the Most High. All of that is interesting when you come to the iPhone. And the iPhone is I will just say this, it's like the Apple computer and the Apple with a bite taken out of it. Most people forget the Apple computer came out at $666. So the forbidden fruit now is even translated into the activated genes. So whatever God turned off in the latent powers of the soul, or the old statement, Dave, you've heard, Don, we only use such and such a percentage of our brain, and women can use both sides of their brain, which I believe is true. The point being that we are now going to experience enhancing and releasing, but with the enhancing comes the demons dancing, okay? That is my attempt at, forgive me, Randy Conway, but that is my attempt of saying this. With the enhancing, and remember, every single thought now they want to read, the idea of pre-crime, just like the Minority Report, Dave, this is beyond Pandora's box. This is the world now that is going to be seen, because God is absolutely going to make it real and revealing. And this is why the conference in Branson, Missouri. Look, we don't just, this, Dave. We have a half a dozen speakers, and we don't, and I'm not taking shots at anybody in this, but we are so focused, Tom and I. Tom wanted to retire from speaking, and then I guess we got a second wind, Tom, because you knew the calling that was God on your life. You couldn't be silent in this, because this is the most important thing affecting the world. And God, I wanted to go back into my man cave. 20 years on talk radio, I never had a picture of me on the internet except one old one. And now I have to come out of my man cave. But the point being is that we now have to stand against this stuff with all our might and all our strength. And by the way, the Bible says the righteous are as bold as lions. So some of the people that are trying to, shoot us down in the world of Christianity, obviously they're not believers, they've got to understand their future is at stake. Their children is at stake. And the fate of the human race is at stake, so much so that Jesus even said, when the Lord returns, will he find faith in the earth? And my answer to that is, Lord, wherever you've got your people, you'll find faith. But if the days weren't shortened, there'd be no flesh left alive. There'd be no flesh spared. And Tom, that's the clearest prophetic utterance that I know that Jesus spoke as to the end from the beginning. In other words, it's a very powerful and poignant point that Jesus is trying to get. And God said, Dave, he says, the Bible says, his people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And that's why Tom Horn does what he does. That's why I do what I do. And all the others will be speaking at Branson. Branson is an anomaly. It is not a Me Too thing. And is that a fair statement?
Yeah, and by the way, I think, it's probably unlikely to even happen again. It's really kind of a one-time thing. We're bringing all the top people from around the world, both scientists as well as theologians and bioethicists, to discuss where we are and I'm looking forward to it. And you're right, I was trying to retire. In fact, last year, if you recall, Steve, I told you I don't want to speak anymore. I don't want to do it. And I've been turning everybody everywhere down. I'm not even speaking at the Oklahoma conference with the other people this year. But you drew me out of my shell. And I knew that I owed you, so at first I just did it out of debt. But then I was very, very happy that I did. It changed me, and I realized, look, we can't afford to stay in the man cave right now. We can't afford to stand down because nobody else is doing it. And it's a particular and peculiar calling that God has given you and I. Something I should, by the way, say... earlier I said if people go to skywatchtv.com and click on the Handmaiden's Conspiracy, it's all on the top of the website. You'll see it easily with any kind of a device. If you buy the Handmaiden's Conspiracy, I'm going to give you this free Bible and all that. Well, but I forgot to say what you need to do if you go there, because there'll be hundreds of other people that'll just buy that tonight anyway. When you check out, there's like a comments page where you can add language. You need to type in there, I heard you on the Common Sense Show, or I heard you on with Dave Hodges. Make sure you put that in, because that's the only way that the people in the warehouse are going to know to give you this new Bible with the 18 apocryphal books, the Inhuman documentary, the Forbidden Gates book with all of the materials, the 270-page teacher's guide. The only way they're going to know to put all that stuff in that box with that other book is if you say, I heard you on the Common Sense Show, or I heard you on Dave Hodges, because this is exclusive to the listeners of this show. This is not something we're advertising to everybody else, so need to make sure you know that. The other question that I just don't think we're going to have time. But let me at least introduce the idea, Steve and Dave. And it's because this question comes up to me more than any other question, and maybe Steve, it does to you too. People emailing me wanting to know: will a genetically modified, altered human, do they have a soul? Are they redeemable? That question comes up over and over and over and over. And it's kind of creating distress among some people today that imagine that this is the world their children are growing up in. And, you know, biohacking is becoming a thing. People are injecting themselves, as dumb as this might sound, they're injecting themselves with CRISPR-Cas9 kits. I have one of these kits. I got one of the very first ones through a bio lab. I've taken it onto television with me. I've talked about it. But there's no way in the world I would, you know, stick a needle in my skin and inject it into myself and see what it, you know, might do. But people are doing that. So there's a lot of distress right now over this. And will altered humans have a soul? Are they modern Nephilim? What are they? Will these creations... in the Judeo-Christian sense of the word, will they have a soul? That is, the soul of a human, as different than the nature of an animal, in that man alone was made in God's image, and we are his imagers, and the essence of the human person is capable of union with God now, and transcends later from mortal to redeemed immortality after death. Do they have that kind of a soul? And this is a debate that goes all the way back even to the early church fathers through the Middle Ages, when they were talking about the golem, right? These clay creatures that the Jews could create and give life to, that whole mythology. All the way down through the Inquisition of the Roman Catholic Church about whether modified humans would have a soul. And in fact, the subject of whether hybrid humans that we are already now creating, can they be redeemed? I think I might have told you about this, Steve. I had lunch with the state superintendent of the Oregon District of the Assemblies of God not long ago and several other state representatives. And while I was there, the soup leaned forward and he said, Tom, he said, I read your book. It's really good. But one thing troubled me greatly, the part where human genetics he's talking about the book, my novel, The Ahriman Gate, where human genetics are combined with what the scientists in the book thought was maybe alien DNA, and it leads to this revival of Nephilim. He said, I never liked talking about that subject when I was a pastor because I hate the implications that there could be mutant humans that cannot be saved. Well, he really kind of encapsulated what I think a part of the conversation has to be that has to be discussed right now among theologians and church philosophers and so on, his abhorrence of the idea that something could be made that looks like a human, might even walk into a church, but it cannot be saved. And I said to him, I said, look, believe me, I really do understand this issue. I understand why it's troubling to you. But it doesn't change the fact that Nephilim, as described in the Old Testament and in the ancient books that I'm giving away in this new Bible, the Book of Enoch, and similar books, as far as those books are concerned, and those are the stories that Peter and Jude quote in the New Testament canon, those creations were devoid of redeemable souls, of redeemable spirits. In Genesis 6:9, only Noah, and therefore by extension his children, were found perfect, tenium, in their generation, which means without blemish, healthy. It's the same word in Leviticus that's used to describe an unblemished sacrificial lamb. The meaning is not that Noah was morally perfect. We know that he wasn't morally perfect. But that his DNA had not been contaminated. And so when you read, like, if somebody goes over there and they buy The Handmaiden's Conspiracy, they get this big Bible from me that's got these apocryphal works in it. When they read the Book of Enoch, for instance, you have this depiction. Whether or not the corrupted, altered humans that were made by the Watchers, the Nephilim, whether they had redeemable souls. And I've got it open in front of me right here. I'll read it to you quickly, and I know we're out of time. Note what happens when the Watchers asked the prophet Enoch to beg God for the salvation of their children, for the salvation of the Nephilim. Here's what Enoch wrote. Then I went and spoke to them all together, and they were all afraid, and fear and trembling seized them, and they besought me to draw up a petition for them that they might find forgiveness and to read their petition in the presence of the Lord of heaven. For from thenceforward they could not speak with him, nor lift up their eyes to heaven for shame of their sins for which they had been condemned. That's Enoch 3:3-5. Enoch takes his petition to God, and then he informs the Watchers of their hybrid children's situation regarding whether or not they can be redeemed. Enoch 14:4-7. I wrote out your petition, and in the vision it appears thus that your petition will not be granted unto you throughout all the days of eternity, and that judgment has been finally passed upon you. Yea, your petition will not be granted to you, and from henceforth you shall not ascend into heaven unto all eternity, and in the bonds of the earth the decree has gone forth to bind you and all the days of the world, and that previously you shall have seen the destruction of your beloved sons, talking about the Nephilim, and ye shall have no pleasure in them, but they shall fall before you by the sword, and your petition on your behalf shall not be granted, nor yet for your on your own, even though you weep and pray and speak all the words contained in the writing which I have written. Enoch 14:4-7. So the bottom line is, this is what the Watchers did. They modified humanity. Then they begged Enoch to please go to the God of heaven. And by the way, if somebody's listening to this and they're saying, well, who cares what the Book of Enoch says? Well, Peter did. Jude did. The disciples read this book. In fact, the disciples had the Book of Enoch among their canon of scriptures. It was only later expunged during the 15th century. Because there were people in the church at that time that didn't want these books to be part of the Bible. I'm not even arguing, by the way, to make this a part of the canon. I'm saying that the the disciples quoted it as scripture. They quoted it as a trustworthy document, a historical document that told the true story of what had happened. So this is the only example we have. I could theorize, lots of people could theorize, the only example we have of whether or not genetically re-engineered humans that are modified to the extent that they are no longer human, whether they could be redeemable or not, we only have one example in history, and it is in the book of Enoch, and it says absolutely not. They do not have a redeemable soul. So why am I pointing all this out? I'm saying that this is the reason why the church desperately, desperately needs to get involved in this conversation. Because
gentlemen,
otherwise, if they don't, they're leaving it to the so-called Christian transhumanists who are out there right now saying that it's part of our duty to be involved with God as co-creators. And
no.
The only way we're going to bring immortality to mankind is to permanently alter what it means to be a human through both genetics, robotics, artificial intelligence, gene therapies, whatever. So the discussion needs so desperately now to occur, and that's the reason why this September, me, Steve Quayle, a board of scientists, theologians, philosophers, and also a lot of media people like Dave Hodges are going to convene in September in Branson, Missouri at the Mansion Theater. It's a beautiful theater. This is where the Oak Ridge Boys perform something like 30 concerts a year. Gorgeous theater. Everybody that was there last year loved it. Everybody that was there last year had said they want to come back. This is why I partly think that the whole event's going to sell out. But we're going to be dealing with this kind of heavy-duty information.
And Tom, we are out of time with that. Steve's website is stevequayle.com, and you hear me talk a lot about Renaissance precious metals here. And we'll be talking a lot more about this topic, and we're going to have a return visit, hopefully, from both gentlemen. And Skywatch TV for Tom Horn. Tom, good stuff. Steve, great stuff. Always, I appreciate you both coming on. Thanks so much for joining us, gentlemen. Steve, I'm going to get this up to you in the morning because I think this broadcast needs to go far and wide. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you, Dave. God bless you, Tom.
All right. God bless you guys. Bye.
Dr. Tom Horn and Steve Quayle, ladies and gentlemen, and I think you've heard a landmark presentation, and that last 2 or 3 minutes by Tom Horn about can these creatures, as I'll call them, be saved? My instincts said no, and I'm glad my instincts were borne out. They cannot be saved. We're fighting for the future of humanity. We'll be back in hour number 3, and Bob Griswold and I are going to specifically speak to one topic, the pastors and what they're not doing, and it ties right into what we just did. We'll see you back here in hour number 3.